Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Joining us now is Outkick360's Jonathan Hutton. Hutton, we heard from Vrabel and Rand Carthon at the NFL Combine yesterday. And Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel each spoke about Ryan Tannehill. Rand Carthon said, you know, Ryan Tannehill is under contract. He is a Titan. He will be a Titan. How did you interpret what Rand Carthon said about Ryan Tannehill yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, nothing definitive, right? But at the same time, leaning towards, it sounds like they agree with what we've been saying here. It's the most, not easy move, but the one that makes the most sense based on where they are right now and the options that they have. Ryan Tannehill can be the starting quarterback, and I'll reiterate this again. That doesn't mean they won't draft at one where they are. There's a scenario where they could go young at quarterback and still have Tannehill under contract this season and let it play out that way. But nothing definitive, but I do like what they were saying about, hey, we're moving forward, he's under contract. Well, that's true. That there's optimism there if you're on the Tannehill bandwagon to stay. But he's on the Titans roster and he's under contract and he's the starter until when? Until he's not. And they can always point to a decision that comes up or an offer that was made. And this is the same organization that had Mike Vrabel stand there and say that A.J. Brown wouldn't be traded either this time last year.
And that's exactly what I have said is he's the quarterback until he's not. And I think the best case scenario for the Titans, if there's a quarterback in this draft that they love, you draft that guy, sit him for a year behind Tannehill, and then he's your starter for the future. But if, let's say you are Rand Carthon, you are Jonathan Hutton, GM of the Titans, and you do draft a quarterback in this year's draft, who is your guy and what's your path to getting there?
Well, it doesn't have to be a first round at number 11. But I do think there needs to be someone that they feel like they can develop, which has been a buzzword for D-Mace, that they can develop behind Tannehill if he remains under contract and they don't take the option of either trading or releasing him to save themselves $18 million on the cap. If they draft a quarterback at 11, to me, that's not conducive for keeping Tannehill under contract for whatever his number is this year. And I take that to mean they're moving on. But, is there a Hendon Hooker-type guy, and it could be Hendon, who they feel like can be a backup this year, develop, and then eventually compete to be the starter? Sure, I think that option's on the table. And you can trade back, gain picks. In a perfect world, you're in the bottom of the first round. You still get the fifth-year option on a quarterback. But they have so many different holes, especially on the offensive line. To me, the common sense plan should be to keep Tannehill under a new number contractually, which Carthon said he wasn't going to speak about. But I think that's a necessity. And figure out how to get that cap worked out to where you have enough blend of veteran acquisitions, which starts on March 15th, and rookies who are going to help you on the O-line, because that's critical no matter who's playing the QB position.
Now, Jonathan, we're discussing the quarterbacks, and we're discussing, Ryan Tannehill and whether the Titans are going to move up or not to try to get a potential quarterback in this year's draft, whether it be, moving up within the top three picks or moving up within the top five picks. But looking at this team, and Rand said it as well as Mike Vrabel, they got a lot of holes to fill. And more importantly, the offensive line. Carolyn brought up that, listen, they might have to replace all five starters from last year. Can you see a scenario where everybody's thinking this team either is going to stay at 11 or move up to try to get a quarterback or get an offensive lineman, and they just – sit back and move back and continue to move back to build up draft stock and to build this team, because whoever they get at 11, it's not going to be a quick fix. This is going to be a situation because of what has happened in prior years where it may take a few off seasons to build this team back up to Super Bowl contention.
Yeah, unless you're at 11 and you have your franchise, mm-hmm. and again, the keyword here is franchise, your franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. offensive tackle or pass rusher on the board, then you pull the trigger and take that player. Mace, this is very unpredictable in what Carthon will end up doing here. What we did learn about John Robinson from really day one is he's not scared to trade on draft day and trade picks. Trade number one overall and move around and try to gain draft capital. Carthon has helped build a roster in San Francisco through the draft to have one of the best rosters 1 through 53 in terms of depth. And I'm on board with what you're saying. To do that, you move back, you gain picks, and you have more quality players than just one elite player. But if you have that one elite player, this team is desperate for elite talent. And if they're there on the board at 11, according to their draft board, they can't trade out of there. That player is too valuable based on that rating. And to me, the three positions worth doing that for right now, offensive tackle, pass rush, or quarterback. Other than that, I'm buying into what you're selling, which is sell the pick, trade back, try to pick up extra draft capital for a team that's chasing a QB that you don't like.
Now, we had TD on yesterday, and I asked him the question about Austin Hooper and, you know, do you believe the Titans will bring him back, because that's another void they're going to have to fill, because as good as I believe Chigakonkwo is, and he will only get better, they do need that veteran, and Swain needs to go. He can play for somebody else. He's good enough to play for somebody else, but I think him being here, it's worn out his welcome. But do you believe they try to make an effort to sign Austin Hooper back?
That's a good question. In thinking through the depth at the position through the draft and through free agency, the player that was linked, I'll throw his name out there. Mm-hmm. The player in free agency that was linked to the Titans last year as one of about four teams, but he ended up getting the franchise tag, is Dalton Schultz out of Dallas. And they're not placing the tag on him this year. So he's going to be a free agent. And I wonder if the Titans get linked to him again. Austin Hooper, I mean, they jumped out and signed him pretty early on in free agency last year. And then he was just never a key factor week in, week out through the season. You know, he slid back into the shadows for the most part. Chigakonkwo needs to take over the number one role. That's me reading into what Tim Kelly said yesterday when he starts naming players. He names Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo as guys they've got to be creative with and get the ball to. And I'm on board with that. But this is still an offense that's going to use two and three tight ends in a game. And depending on Hooper's number, maybe you bring it back and pair him with another Jeff Swain type that can do the dirty work for you in the trenches and still run this same style of offense. I think it can be a very similar-looking offense, but be better. I think they want to be multiple. They want to do all these, you know, catchphrases. That's great. But I've seen this offense run two and three tight vast majority of the time and put up well more than 17.5 points per game like this team did a year ago. So I think that's the key part of it. And Hooper didn't show me that he's a part of that plan or that process. I think I would look elsewhere. And if I can't do anything else, I look back to Hooper.
Yeah, you know, I mean, everybody on right now knows how I felt about Austin Hooper throughout the season. But I will admit, and I've said this before, listen, if a guy proves me wrong, I have no problem with coming on there and saying, hey, listen, this guy's playing much better. And Austin Hooper played a lot better toward the end of the season. And with that said, where do you predict this team is at the end of next season? Are they considering everything that happens, and we know they can't fill all roster spots or all holes this year, where this roster is now, where do you think they land as far as record-wise or in seeding? Are they a playoff team moving forward at the end of the season next year?
I believe they have a playoff coach. Mm-hmm. They don't have a playoff roster right now. But so it's hard to say. They have to be creative. I know that's been the catchphrase for offense. They have to be creative with the cap this offseason. And, you know, the one thing that they felt like was that kept them hamstrung a year ago, they kept pointing to, or, you know, it was obvious, it was sticking out. Tannehill had a cap number that they couldn't get out of and wasn't going to be helpful for the cap. It would be detrimental to the cap if they moved him. That's not the case this year. And if they want to get creative with the cap, I think it comes down to Tannehill or Henry and how they handle both of those players. And if they extend them and they help themselves on the cap, they alleviate some of that and they gain some more money to go out and invest on the O-line. Because, again, I'm stressing, and I know you guys have been too, that is where it starts this offseason. That will determine where they are at the end of the year. That and their health, which they haven't been – I mean, they've been awful health-wise the last two seasons. But they need to address the O-line before we have any sense of trying to predict that, because right now they don't have an offensive line that's competing week in and week out. They're a non-factor in the AFC South with the O-line that they ended the season with.
Just truly brutal. Hutton will join us. Well, stick around with us coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. Outkick 360's Jonathan Hutton is with us. I know, Willie, how to follow up to Hutton's last point.
Yeah, Hutton, you said something that I've been thinking about a lot. As the combine goes forward and you start to see what the options are to try to build what you called a playoff roster. And you said right now it's not a playoff roster. I would agree. There's just, and you heard Mike Vrabel saying it yesterday, he said we've got a lot of holes that we've got to fill. We need speed. There's a lot of things that need fixing. Now, if you're an optimist, you can say, look, if we get our healthy defense back together, you could still have a really good defense, and the offense wouldn't have to be spectacular. You still got Derrick Henry. You can make a run of it. But with the AFC as stacked as it is, I am curious what the ceiling is on this team. And if your ceiling is maybe you could get back to the playoffs and have a puncher's chance, how does that sit with Rand Carthon as opposed to maybe some other options that take a step back to take the two or three steps forward down the road to where you could really be a heavyweight?
It's a delicate balance. Because, look, the owner wants to win. I think we know that based on what she said publicly when she speaks. Vrabel, in no way, Willie, comes across as a guy who's taking the year and saying, you know what, this is our rebuild. Like, he is so focused on 2023. I don't think he cares about 2024, personally. I think he's so, like, laser-focused on the next season and how they win. Rand Carthon needs to be a blend of that and looking over the horizon for the next 2 or 3 years. It doesn't need to be the next 10. They need to, going back to what I was saying with Mace, if a guy is there that's a franchise elite talent that you cannot pass up on, you take him because that is a franchise second contract guy. They need more of those. They lack those guys. But point being, in this day and age where the league is and how much time you have to win or lose before you're out, I think it's imperative they hit on some draft picks to keep them competitive. And this team will be competitive, I think, if they have the O-line in place like they've had over the last couple of seasons instead of what we saw last year. I think they need to be able to create a great mix of veterans. And I think the veterans can be on the interior where it doesn't seem they're going to pay the big money for a Nate Davis who's going to be overpaid at guard. They can replace him with someone, but also, you know, at left guard, pair that with what could potentially be a rookie left tackle and move and press forward with that. They left the door open for Lawan. I don't know where Lawan stands on all this. The first thing, though, is his knee. He's got to get healthy and pass a physical. But even if you're on board with the idea that he's back under some deal on for a year or whatever it is, you have to have a plan of someone young at the left tackle position that is ready to go or is in front of Lawan by the time we get to week one. I mean, that's the way I would be thinking if I'm Carthon, instead of just load up, run it back, and here we go. This team can't run it back. But what they can do is get back to what they did well, which was their identity. They lost their identity midway through the season, which was smash-mouth football in the trenches where they were going to push the offensive – they were going to push the line of scrimmage forward. Instead, they were pushed back. And we saw the record to end the season. That, to me, that's the imperative question that they have to answer before we're able to say one way or the other where this roster is competitively in the AFC South. I don't think they'll bottom out, but right now they're nowhere close to the top either.
Well, and let me follow up with my perspective of what we're just watching here with the Predators over the last week. This is why it's tough when you're the coach, right, because you just described Vrabel perfectly. He's a battler. He doesn't want to say, well, it's okay if we lose for the next couple of years because it'll come back around. We'll be really good when we reset, because that's just not a coach's personality. But when he is part of the architect, like he's going to be collaborating with the new GM, he's got to say. Now let's contrast that with the Predators. John Hines is like Mike Vrabel. He's in the battle. He's there with Roman. We're out in Arizona. The team's there. They still believe they can make it, right? They think they can make the playoffs. It's going to happen. We got 25 games. If we just play our best 25 games, we can get in and anything can happen. That's the mentality of a coach. That's the mentality of a team. David Poile, the GM, came to the conclusion, look, I've seen enough. It's 55, 56 games. This is what we are. I don't think we're quite good enough. We're gonna pull the plug, and we're going to start playing for more of the future in the big picture. We're going to acquire future assets. So two different viewpoints. But my point is, if the coach is making those decisions, if John Hines was collaborating with David Poile, John Hines isn't signing up for that, right? That he wants to battle with the guys he's got. He just took three very important pieces off their team for this year, and they have to try to make it work. So I guess that's where I'm coming from are the Titans prepared? Is it good enough? Because we just heard a ton of Predator fans throughout the year saying, look, I'm tired of just getting into the playoffs and then not having the weapons to really have a great chance. And I'm wondering if the Titans are sort of getting to that point. But Mike Vrabel won't sign up for that. I think he will want to try to keep doubling down, give me everybody I can get back, and let's give it our best shot to try to scrap our way, which is kind of what they've done a lot of these years, where they've been 9-7.
Well, I you're right. But I listen to that, and I'm nodding with you here on the phone because I'm thinking the easy sales pitch is to trade up and get a franchise QB. And by doing that, you say, why did we do it? Look at the AFC. Look at the stack of quarterbacks in our conference, and look at who's in the playoffs. Like that to me, that's the sales pitch where everybody's like, yes, I'm on board with it. But it really starts for this team on the O-line. And I think, Willie, the blend of win now versus win moving forward, which I think they're a roster right now that's more in line with the line of thinking of what Carthon was brought here to do. They have to be able to be strong up front, because it doesn't matter who the quarterback is if they don't get the O-line fixed. And this is where the Reaper comes to grab the what's left of the O-line after you swing and miss on Isaiah Wilson and Dylan Raidens, right? Like these are things that happen when you see the complete overhaul up front. Again, you're right. I mean, I say are they a playoff roster? No. Can they be? Sure. I mean, they can be the 7th seed and win their way in at the end of the season. But are they competitive at the top half of the AFC? Absolutely not. And I think organizationally, I think they know where they are right now. The question is, how creative can they be with the salary cap, which they have to maneuver? And through the draft, this is not the year, if we're talking playoffs next year, this is not the year where your first and second round picks don't contribute. And I think the last year's draft class is coming together fine. The point being, they have to have impact players that are going to help them on game day instead of guys that they're slowly maneuvering in through special teams and a third, you know, the third option at a position. There's reason for optimism, though, Willie, through some of the talent that they have. Jeffrey Simmons, getting him done. We've seen Tannehill and Henry when it's working well. Working so well that they're winning and winning, stringing wins along through the season. But again, they've got to fix pass rush, and they've got to fix the offensive line for this team to excel to the point where Vrabel is going to be happy and Carthon is also building for the future.
Jonathan Hutton is with us, OK360. Hutton, do you think that the offense last season was predictable?
Kind of. I mean, it's very difficult to say it was predictable because in totality, Caroline, because they were so good in the first half. They were really good at scoring points then. it was very predictable that they weren't going to be well in the second half. What was predictable for me was Todd Downing is going to – his creative group of play calls, he was going to call those plays at the worst possible time. Like, that to me was predictable. The gimmick plays when you're, you know, rolling down the field, doing what you do, and then you roll in something else and you're just like, well, that was not the time to do it. That to me was a very predictable aspect of it. And I think the other area where Kelly has to be so much better than Downing, I don't think defensive coordinators on the opposite sideline or in the booth chased calls for Downing. So in that aspect, you could say they were more predictable than not. I think you had to chase calls against Arthur Smith, meaning the coordinator's already two snaps down the road before the defensive coordinator figures out that he's chasing. They were ahead of defensive coordinators in 2020. That was not the case last year. And I think they got very predictable, especially when the offensive line was decimated by injury, paired with Downing and the overall play call that he was doing. And look, they lacked the A.J. Brown guy. When you shut down Henry or you shut down one other area, the guy who's going to step up and make a play, you know, the moment guy, they lacked that in a major way. And that also hamstrung the play calling to some extent too. But there's no excuse for where they ended up versus the expectations that this team had. And that's where Kelly has to be far more creative and balanced than what we saw a year ago.
I'm so with you with the dumb Todd Downing calls. It was almost like a bingo card that I had for every single Titans game. And it was dumb play call from Todd Downing. And if that box wasn't checked, I knew that there was a Derrick Henry wildcat call coming or a jet sweep to Malik Willis with the game on the line. It was just so many times I thought, what are you doing? And why right now? Jonathan Hutton, OutKick 360. Appreciate you for joining us every week. We'll chat with you next week. Oh, and also before we go, Hutton, let us know about Blend Bar.
Yes, and thank you guys. Always enjoy it. And thanks to Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, located at 508 Church Street, downtown Nashville, right in the heart of Smashville. Voted best old-fashioned in Nashville. They received that honor and got the nod over 14 other bars and restaurants right here in Music City. Blend Bar has an exclusive relationship with Davidoff Cigars. They're the best cigars in the world, and that allows access to rare cigars that only Blend Bar can carry right here in Middle Tennessee. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, the best ventilation system in the industry as well. That allows for your enjoyment for the cigar smokers or the non-cigar smokers alike, because your suit's not going to smell like a cigar. That means your significant other is not going to complain about that, and that's important. So come hang at Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Great for pre-gaming prior to a Preds game or a concert at Bridgestone Arena. A great spot to watch the Preds games during the week when they're on the road. And it's a solid hangout spot before you go to the Ryman, before you go to Nissan Stadium. And check out Blend Bar on social media, at Blend Bar Nashville on Instagram. Or just swing by in person. I'll see you there. 508 Church Street, two blocks from Bridgestone Arena and the Ryman. Blend Bar, luxury redefined.
Appreciate you, Hutton. We'll see you at Blend Bar soon. Coming up next, we'll get into one word that the Titans have reiterated so many times throughout the offseason. And I think yesterday we might have seen exactly what they mean by that. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.